More than 60% of us are willing to donate our organs to support other life. So we really do not have a supply issues. The biggest issue here, like you say, why every single hour we lost one life on the waitlist, actually it's because short of time.
Hi, my name is Mina Kim, your host of The Click Line. I've worked on Wall Street for over 14 years. Then I built out Orange Theory Fitnesses and sold them to a private equity firm. And upon that exit, started investing in women and minority startups, as well as advising women who are getting divorced with financial consulting and strategy.
Hey guys, you know what's the best way to get in touch with your friends? Sharing an episode of the Click Line podcast. So don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the episodes. And let me know what you think in the comments.
Welcome to today's episode of the Click Line podcast. Today I have a very special guest, Dr. Sophie Wei. She is an award-winning American entrepreneur and inventor in the area of biomimetic nanoscience and biopreservation in regenerative medicine. Dr. Wei managed $8 million in engineering projects while completing her PhD and invented Xtherma's core technologies based on biomimetic hyper-effective ice prevention materials and devices, resulting in 40 global patents. In layman's terms, she's developed a molecule, aka peptoid, that can have organs survive from 8 hours to up to 5 days. She has received over 12 national and international innovation research grants, exceeding $14 million from the Department of Defense, the National Science Foundation, NIH, CIRM, EU, etc., and many more. She has led the Xtherma research endeavors at the Molecular Foundry, Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory from 2015 to 2024. So thank you so much for coming on, Dr. Wei.
Thank you so much, Mina, for having me. Such a pleasure.
I'm so excited to have you here. And, you know, I'd love to hear for the audience about your background and how you got started.
Yeah, thank you, Mina, for asking. Yeah, actually, I start back from a very sad but very strong personal inspiration. When I was a little girl, as 8 years old, unfortunately, I lost my grandpa. He, to me, is an Iron Man and super strong person and the highest moral standard and being a general. But unfortunately, the liver did not come on time and he passed away. So I feel very hopeless. And my mom, as a physician, she told me actually all the secret behind the transplant is not because we don't have the donors, but the time is the big issues. So that really seeded me as a young kid. I wanted to become a biohacker, actually make time available for transplant. So that drives me go for biotech as a major. Well, I realized there's a major breakthrough can happen in chemistry side. So I decided to pursue chemistry PhD in the States and then start Xtherma. So this has been a long, rewarding journey for me.
So when did you first discover this molecule that you have patented now?
So the year we patented, like actually it's 2015. Yeah. So I will say like my stage of from a concept to like to leading the research and then start a company, there's some stages. So when I was in college time, I recognized what if we can actually freeze the organs without freezer burn? So, you know, everything in your freezer lasts longer than refrigerator. But we never see a frozen heart come back to beat again. So the issue here is, you have to avoid a freezer burn. But there's no such antifreeze safe enough for organs. You certainly cannot use a car coolant. Also, microbiologists, they use some DMSO, like those small molecules to freeze cells, but those things is also super toxic. FDA, in fact, they tried to ban twice in history without success. So my thought is we have to completely rethink about this. We cannot just serendipitously pick what's available in front of us and sacrifice balance between the efficacy and the toxicity. We have to come from a new idea. So the idea was I could just go to the nature. You know, the 4 billion years evolution already gave us a great answer. So their fish and insects, they come up with the molecular precise molecules, are able to really help them first control ice formations, prevent freezer burn, and use very low concentration that is not toxic. So my idea was, how can we learn what nature can design and then use a new type of chemistry to rival nature's function? So that is why I pursued my PhD. And so, well, I did not get to do what I'm aiming to do, but I prepared all the knowledge in the chemistry side. So after that, naturally, although I got some offers to become postdocs to go for academic track, but I think what I really want to do is to making the science and to save lives. So then I just jump in to start. So that time the ideas arrived. So I patent our invention. And then I moved to Lawrence Berkeley National Lab and I got a great support from the place, we call it, has the highest density of Nobel laureates in the top of Berkeley Hill. We have 17 Nobel laureates. So I have the privilege to work with the world's top scientists and truly drive my innovations to real molecules.
Yeah, so basically these Arctic animals, like the Arctic squirrel, can sleep for 9 months in sub-zero temperature and then wake up and be totally fine. And so this is the antifreeze protein that you're mimicking, correct? Is that right?
Exactly. So you see, nature is so smart. Like you see this little creature, like an Arctic squirrel, as you mentioned, she can pause her life for 9 months of time. In the winter, like a -4°C, her heart nearly stopped. And she's going for deep sleep hibernation. And there's no ice damage. 9 months later, and she reserved all her memory and she's ready to go.
It's pretty amazing. And so what is the difference between, because we hear about peptides too all the time. I have to ask you, what is the difference between a peptoid and a peptide?
Great question. Yes. So peptoid, you see the name is very similar to peptide. Yeah, indeed, they look very similar. So you can think about peptoid is more like advanced designer peptide, but the molecular structure is different. So we know peptide is more like a train card, one color, another color, like just a chain together. And a peptoid is built on the same concept. But a peptoid, in fact, by shifting the side chains from the carbon into nitrogen, just one atom's over, and we completely create a new biomimicry that is extremely similar to peptide. But boom, we solve a lot of mismatch issues come from peptide. You know, the one natural thing is fish protein is so amazing, but it cannot be scaled. Couple ton of fish, maybe you get a few grams, you're very lucky, and they're not even pure. And they only make in the winter time when they need it. And the second, even we can scale antifreeze protein per se, how you can safely inject the fish protein into a human is a big challenge because you can introduce toxicity and some immunogenicity issues, allergy issues. And also those natural peptide is not very stable. So in fact, by being the pioneer of making peptoid, we solve all those issues. We are the company not only leading in the science field, we also scaled it up. Proudly, the largest producer for peptoid as a new material, and we scaled 1 million times. But that's not end of it. You still have a way to make them even more abundance.
Right. Amazing. And so I saw a stat from WHO about how the global demand for organs, only 10% of that demand is met. And so what you're doing is trying to solve for this. How many people do you know die per year without getting an organ transplant?
Wow, that is like a really sad numbers. So, you know, every single hour, this one patient die on a wait list. Yeah.
Wow.
The official list, you know, like it give you example, kidney transplants. We have about 27 transplants per year in the United States, but about 100,000 patients are currently on the official wait list. But if you look at this, it's just the tip of iceberg. In the bottom, there's 500,000 of us visiting dialysis centers every single week, 3 times a week. And they'll be waiting for the kidney 5 to 7 years. Many of them do not get a kidney. If they can't get a kidney today, their life will be day and night difference. And this actually consumed 1% of the US GDP just on dialysis, supporting dialysis system alone.
Yeah, so there's only 27,000 transplants, you're saying, that happen.
Yeah.
100,000 on wait list, 500,000 on dialysis. And that's just in the U.S. alone.
Yes.
And I know a lot of, handful of people with kidney problems. And so at what age does the kidney start to deteriorate?
Yeah.
Why is this happening?
Such a nice question. So, you know, like many of us think now maybe potentially we can live up to 120 years or 150 years with a healthy lifespan. But the reality is our internal organs not built to last that long, especially for kidney. Kidney, like after age of 40, every 10 years, the function reduction is about 10%. So if we're thinking to live to 100-year-old, then most likely at some point of life, we need to think about kidney for transplant.
Wow. And do you think there are other contributing factors to why the kidney deteriorates, or is just like obviously food and exercise and insulin is a major issue?
Yeah.
What can people do when, like, I'm trying to think of like what preventative things people can do?
Yeah. You know, like type 1, type 2 diabetes is one of the top three, like a chronic disease actually kills a lot of people every year. And, you know, almost all the diabetic patients will end up with kidney failure. So I think like for our lifestyle, controlling the blood sugar is a very important thing to managing a healthy long lifespan. Yeah, there's many scientists that are working on that, like to bring frontier new treatments for the patients. And also like for very young kids and from genetic issues like causing type 1 diabetes. So like we first need to manage those kidneys and extend the life as much as we can. But now if with a kidney transplant, if it to the stage we need to have a transplant, my goal is to make a transplant available for the patients.
And what about the supply of kidneys and other organs? Are there enough in available?
Great question. Yeah. This question has been mapped by U.S. Department of Defense about 10 years ago. So, you know, currently in U.S., actually, more than 60% of us are willing to donate our organs to support the other life. So we actually have enough organs. So, and one donor can save 8 lives, so 8 solid organs per transplant. So we really do not have a supply issues. The biggest issue here, like you say, why every single hour we lost one life on the waitlist, actually is because of short of time. We cannot keep the organ alive for long enough time to deliver to the patient who needs this organ. That is the biggest issue. Cost more than 50% of the organs to go on the waste bin currently.
Wow. So that's what Exterma is really going to be solving, is the time for all organs. It's not just kidneys, right, that you're working on?
All organs, yeah.
And so and that's amazing. And so how does it work with cell gene therapy and tissues? How does your peptoid work?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. So, you know, since 2017, I think that marked like a new era. Like now we see CAR T cell therapies, which means your own T cells, like your own immune cells. Now we take them out, we give them a pair of goggles. Now suddenly they can see the cancers in our blood. And then we bring the cells back to us. So that is the initial phase of cell gene therapy. And we show with that kind of method, not only we can control cancer, actually we can completely cure cancer. So that's the amazing thing. But here are the challenges. Those cells are alive. If we leave them on benchtop, they will die in a few seconds, a few minutes. So we have to be able to put them off the shelf. We have to be able to preserve them. Number one, maintain they are viable. Number two, they have to function. So those two are high requirements to make sure those advanced the cell therapies actually can help us to cure cancer, do the job they need to do when they come back to our body. But the problem here is, as I mentioned, the DMSO has been used or used for preserving blood cells since 1950s. And today we're still using the same thing. And this molecule actually is quite toxic.
What is DMSO exactly?
DMSO is a small molecule. Like you actually can buy from CVS. Sometimes I'm used to it too. You can use it to like mix with a drug because it's a hyperactive like a solvent. That solvent can dissolve everything. And if you want to do an experiment, you can dare it. Like you put your finger into the DMSO, in a few seconds, you'll taste it. It tastes like a garlic. Yeah. And it will linger all day. So this molecule is a hyper-penetrating. So that's why it serves as an antifreeze. But the problem is, FDA tried to ban it twice because it's a versatile toxicity. It causes vomiting, diarrhea, and sometimes very severe CNS reactions for the patients. And if you're going to try to cure like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's or some localized cancer delivery, if you inject large amounts of DMSO and the tissue cannot tolerate. Mm-hmm. So sometimes you see now we can potentially using stem cells and to treat our knee degeneration. Like our customer come to us, they said, oh my, like our patients comes in with 5-degree pain, but after inject with the DMSO and mix with stem cells, they have a grade of a 10. So this is very hard for the patient because it causes inflammatory reactions to the local tissues. But XD Thrive with a pectoid, we completely remove the DMSO out of the equation and without introducing other toxic stuff or other ineffective stuff. So then we can preserve those cells with the highest is the cell recovery and also cell function without all the side effects. So that is how we help this field.
Amazing. And so how does that also work for cryopreservation and people who do IVF?
Yes. Yeah. I think like for IVF field, you know, like we know currently every one of the six couples, according to WHO, suffer from infertility worldwide. Mm-hmm. But we can only cover like 5% of the world demand. So you can see when we're advancing career, like we wanted to choose like the time for reproduction, like for females and also planning for family. IVF is indeed very important elements here. Mm-hmm. This is one of the things that actually bipartisan supported and then trying to like giving us more hopes and for the families. But a caveat here is if you think about DMSO is toxic, like for stem cells, the amount of DMSO we use for IVF, preserving the eggs, sperms, embryos, which result in baby directly, is double that concentration. It's very toxic. Yeah.
So we've been using this toxic chemical for, I don't know, a very long time.
Yeah.
And your peptoid is non-toxic. And how difficult is it to get people to replace DMSO?
Yeah, that's an amazing question. So that is the thing, like Xthermal started very early on because we have our own hypothesis. But our voice, it does not matter. Like our customer's voice matters. So we did a lot of services to over 100 different customers in CGT field, IVF field. We're just asking, like, do you have a need to replace the MSO? Actually, almost everybody said yes. As long as they see the clinical forefront and they have a CMC, like that means they are manufacturing the cells. Maybe early researchers, they don't have that much pain because they have not get chance to move along, like to figure out how we can make a regulated product. But once you're facing patients, this become obvious hurdles because of the patient side toxicities and also cell side, like a quality loss, mutations. The MSO is an agent that causes major mutations. Even you wash out the MSO completely, this still can cause up to 13% epigenetic mutation, 70% transcription mutation, and 50% proteomic mutation. Those mutations, maybe you can see from the single cells is okay, but we're going to be very careful what we're going to have that mutation for as a single embryos develop the future baby.
Is this why there's a stat where if you were to freeze 10 eggs or 10 embryos hypothetically, then one may only survive? Is this a large contributing factor to that?
Indeed, it is a large contribution factor. Yeah. Yeah, the MSO is toxic, also not effective to freeze and thaw eggs particularly. So that's why I really don't like to see women go through this kind of procedure. It's very painful. And you have your hope up. But the reality is, in the end, even an under 35-year-old healthy woman, you take 10 to 15 eggs out, the chance for one live birth is still less than 85%.
Wow. And so this product is available right now that for cryopreservation?
Now it's available for pilot testing. So okay. We'll have really amazing data, like according to FDA's required data. And then now we're engaging with top clinics like to do pilot trials. So yeah, not fully commercial yet, but we're happy to support the researchers, investigators in this field.
Great. And what about for the organ side? Where are you?
Yeah, for the organs, so we're very excited. Based on our data, FDA granted us the world-only sub-zero breakthrough device designation for organ preservation. And thank you, 120 hours for kidney side. So that's why our team is laser-focused on getting all the data ready for FDA. Our goal is potentially start saving the first life very, very soon. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're also fast-tracked with the FDA, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So separately from the breakthrough device, you're fast-tracked for the peptoid for organ transfer.
Yeah. So breakthrough device naturally gave you the fastest track. And on top of that, they also pair the designated team with the technology, because the rationale here is the reach, like the highest impact for the society. And the FDA view is a very important piece of new technology. They want to help to bring this to the marketplace.
Yes. So because typically an FDA process is like 10 years or something, right?
Yes, on the drug side, indeed. But we are not drug. So that is beauty here. We're a breakthrough device, and we don't need a lengthy phase one, phase two, phase three trials. This is one trial, and we're also not responsible to pay for patient management and any of these things. It's a very high cost. It can be $100 million, like the other typical therapeutic side.
Right. So that's amazing. So when do you expect to get FDA approval?
Yeah. So we expect in very short amount of time, this will be cleared by FDA by 2028. We can start this saving lives, in the commercial setting.
Right. but you expect to be able to start some clinical trials for the organ transplants maybe end of the year or
yeah, next year? Yeah. Yeah, like so that's our goal, like start saving first life in a few months.
Amazing. That's so exciting. And, you know, I am a proud investor, so I'm very excited about Xterma and the ability to be able to save lives. And, you know, I have multiple family members that have been affected by kidney disease. So I'm sure there are many others. So I think this is going to be a great, an amazing solution that's really going to affect a huge part of the global population. So thank you for all of your efforts in that and working so hard all of these years on it, because I'm so grateful that you're creating solutions to save lives.
Thank you so much, Mina. Thank you for your trust and you're rolling off your sleeve to help here. Yeah, so it's going to be an amazing journey. I always say this is bigger than myself or individually. So until we save the first life.
Yes. And as you know, the name of my podcast is Clickline. And so I always ask every guest, what is a moment in your life, personally or professionally, where things all of a sudden clicked?
That's a great question. Today I was looking back. So I accidentally became famous because I brought this new concept in 2005 when I was a college student. There I had some timelines I built. The time, like in entire China media, they're looking at this. So this girl is wild. Why is she thinking this word? People are laughing at me, said this never can come true, right? Yeah. She's crazy, like and all those things. But that time, you know, I'm a fundamentalist. I see lower temperature, save lives, extend time, and reduce damage. I firmly believe, maybe you are not able to fully bring human back by freezing them. But along the way, we make the organs to work. We make the cells work. We save the tissues. We save IVF. This is already very meaningful. So I decided not to listen to all the feedback, but to continue to pursue. And look, today, I think I'm very proud. We're turning this into a new era. And even just like this morning, Nature Biotech actually featured us as the trailblazers in the field leading the sub-zero organ preservation. I feel very proud. Yeah, we really demonstrate, you see, like a pig can fly.
Yes. Fly. You should be so proud of yourself. And, you know, that is just showing your grit and determination, because as a founder and in life, people are going to say you're crazy and you don't know what you're talking about. And even the professionals in the field, right? So this is a great example of listening to your gut and intuition and following through with that. And, you know, one thing we forgot to touch on, and we'll end after that, but there's so many other areas that this could be used, not only for organs and cell gene therapy and tissues and IVF, but also other areas as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm glad, Amina, you asked. So in my viewpoint, we really built a new material. Like, think about in 1940s, nylon just have a one or two breakthrough points. Now, if you look in front of you, how many things are made of nylon as a material? And then, Mina, you touch on the peptide. In 1990s, is when peptide just the breakthrough as a therapeutics. Look at today, how big is the market for GLP-1 as one single peptide? So now we believe we're creating a new era of peptoid. So peptoids, based on our super comprehensive patent portfolios, covers billions of the peptoids. And this allowing us to tap into a lot of uncharted areas. I'll give you some examples. Now, so nationwide is our strategy to building data centers and also like pushing our footprint to the North Pole. So in order to make this work, we need a hyper-effective cooling method, like for the data center. And the Peptoid indeed can replace a lot of those antifreeze and boost up the water heat capacity or fluid capacity. And that can save us significant energy. And also, we need more antifreeze that is safe for airplane de-icing and pipeline de-icing and going to much north places. And besides that, for our lifestyle, we could have a much better ice cream without taking high sugar, high fats, and also preserving berries better. And even for skincare, you know, antifreeze protein has been considered as luxury skincare ingredients, but it's not available. So we make the science and the power for a better beauty regimen. So things like that, so many, many possibilities in front of us.
Yes, so exciting and amazing breakthrough. And thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're so busy and you have so many things going on. So thank you. I appreciate you taking the time being on the ClickLine podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Mina. I go for ClickLine. I enjoyed to have this conversation. Let's have more. Thank you.
Yes. Don't forget to send in your questions and comments to the ClickLine. And one more thing, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational and entertainment purposes only and should not be considered professional advice. Please consult with qualified professionals for advice related to your specific situation.